From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Inacraft 2023 holds various programs apart from exhibition. Jepara Furniture Craftsman aim for African countries. I'm Nuka Kusmawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Association of the Indonesian Handicraft Exporters and Producers, ASEFI, in collaboration with an event organizer company, is holding the International Handicraft Trade Fair Inacraft at the Jakarta Convention Center GCC from March 1st to 5th, 2023. The international scale handicraft exhibition is expected to meet the target of 170,000 visitors, $140 billion sales, and trade contacts $412 million. This was conveyed by Umi Nurwiyati. Director of the organizer of the event to Voice of Indonesia at the Jakarta Convention Center on Thursday. She also stated that apart from exhibition Inacraft 2023 also held several programs including talk shows, seminars and Inacraft Award, as well as the signing of cooperation between ASEPI and Morocco.
Jadi untuk tahun ini,
so far this year, there are a lot of inside programs. Apart from the exhibition, there is an automatic opening. Then on Wednesday, the first day, there was a talk show from the Set Sulawesi. The governor, one of the speakers with the topic raised the glory of Sutra from Set Sulawesi. Then on Thursday, there was a seminar on intangible cultural heritage and geographical indications for its products. Then just now, we had the Ahpada board meeting. Ahpada is the Asian Handicraft Promotion and Development Association. Then on Friday at 2 o'clock, there is a signing from ASEPI with Morocco for promotional cooperation on craft. At night, there is an Inacraft Award.
Promotion and Development Association. Kemudian besok itu akan ada, jam 2 itu ada signing dari ASEPI dengan Maroko untuk kerjasama promosi tentang kerajinan. Malamnya ada Inacraft Award.
Umi Nurwiyati further stated that on Saturday there will be a visit by University of Indonesia students to Inacraft, because apart from exhibiting, Inacraft is also used as a student lab, especially students majoring in MICE, meeting incentive convention and exhibition. The Inacraft 2023 exhibition was attended by 1,200 participants from all over Indonesia who presented their superior products at the exhibition as a means of promotion to expand markets at home and abroad. One of the exhibitors, Kipti, a member of the Association of Indonesian Handicraft Exporters and Producers, ASEPI Jepara, and entrepreneurs engaged in furniture, woodcraft and decoration, making Inacraft 2023 an opportunity to introduce their products to both domestic and foreign consumers. To Voice of Indonesia, Kipti said that their products have been exported to four continents except Africa. He started looking at the African market as a potential market. If our exports are already in four continents, the African continent is not yet. We have never been there. If I look at the current GDP and economic growth in African countries, I think I will also start looking there. So it means the new market has a lot of potential.
Artinya new market yang sangat potensial.
Kipti further said that through Innocraft, he can get both domestic and international buyers. Take, for example, in Innocraft last April, he got a buyer from Malta. Meanwhile, Huda, a trousseau woven cloth craftsman from Jepara, said that he had never found a foreign buyer on a large scale. He hopes that through Innocraft, he can get buyers not only domestically but also internationally. The development of Indonesia's capital IKN Nusantara is a prime example of the implementation of a transit-oriented development TOD. This was stated by Director General of Housing at the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing PUPR, Iwan Suprianto, at the seminar on TOD in Jakarta on Thursday. He pointed out that TOD is an urban development concept which eases people's mobility from their residence to their workplace. He added that one of the key performance indicators, KPI, of the development of the IKN is that it must ensure that people's workplaces and public areas are only 10 minutes walk from their homes. The Jakarta Food Security Maritime Affairs and Agriculture KPKP office has implemented biosecurity procedures to prevent the potential spread of clade 2.344B of the H5N1 virus or bird flu in Jakarta. This was stated by head of the Jakarta KPKP office, Suharini Eliawati, during a discussion on bird flu preventions in Jakarta on Thursday. Her side has remained alert against the transmissions of the H5N1 virus, considering that Jakarta's need for poultry is reaching 1 million heads per day. Therefore, she remarks that the supervision of the movement of poultry from other regions to Jakarta needs to be made stricter, as Jakarta is not a poultry-producing region. She further said that the alertness is also focused on poultry slaughterhouses. Let's move on to the international news, where at least 100,000 tons of imported buffalo meat will start arriving in Indonesia from India mid or late March, according to the National Food Agency, NFA. NFA's Deputy of Food Availability and Stability, I Gusti Ketut Astawa, said in Jakarta on Thursday that the import of buffalo meat is aimed at mitigating an increase in the demand for the commodity during Ramadan and Idul Fitri. And the import was approved by President Joko Widodo during a limited meeting. He explained that there is a tendency for the prices of several basic commodities to increase ahead of and during Ramadan due to high demand. Nevertheless, he is sure that the stocks of those commodities are sufficient and safe. I Gusti Ketut also said that his agency has continued to coordinate with the relevant ministries, such as the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Trade, and Ministry of Home Affairs, to ensure the stocks and prices of basic commodities. Azerbaijan held a summit-level meeting on the Non-Aligned Movement NAM contact group to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic and post-pandemic global recovery on Thursday in Baku City. In his speech, President of the Republic of Azerbaijan Ilham Aliyev, as chair of the NAM, took the initiative to call for global efforts for fighting COVID-19. NAM's leadership in mobilizing efforts to fight the pandemic once again demonstrated the influence and responsibility of the movement. President Aliyev had also suggested convening a UN General Assembly special session at the leaders' level. The Ministries of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises is targeting to digitize at least 30 million micro, small and medium enterprises by 2024. As of 2021, the number of digitalized MSMEs reached 17.28 million, surpassing the government's target of 13.5 million due to accelerated use of digital technologies by MSMEs on account of the COVID-19 pandemic. This was stated by Deputy for Entrepreneurships at the Ministry, Siti Aziza, at the webinar on encouraging digital technology utilization for MSMEs financial access improvement in Jakarta on Thursday. Listener, now let's move on to commentary on waiting for China's peace proposal's concrete steps.
Waiting for China's peace proposal concrete steps. China has made a 12-point proposal to end the ongoing Russia-Ukrainian war. The peace proposal plan released by China last week calls for continuing peace talks and respecting the sovereignty of all countries, as well as condemning the unilateral sanctions imposed on Russia. China's peace proposal received various responses from several world leaders. There are those who respond positively by supporting it, and some are pessimistic. One of the country's leaders who supports China's peace proposal is Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Before the Hungarian Parliament, PM Orban said that China's peace plan is important and needs to be supported. In his half-hour speech, PM Orban emphasized that the ongoing conflict is not only bad for Ukraine, Russia, Hungary, and Europe, but also bad for the whole world. Beside PM Viktor Orban, Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko also supports China's peace proposal plan. During a meeting with President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Wednesday, President Lukashenko urged a ceasefire and negotiations to bring about a political settlement to the Ukraine conflict. Unlike Hungary and Belarus, Western countries and the United States responded with pessimism and skepticism to China's peace proposal plan. NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg said that Beijing did not have much credibility as a mediator. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken Wednesday, as quoted by VOA Indonesia, expressed doubts about the seriousness of Russia and China in achieving peace in Ukraine. He said that both countries had yet to take substantive steps to support their statements. The peace proposal from China is actually interesting and could be one of the solutions to end this protracted war. There is nothing wrong by being responded positively and optimistically. This proposal could be a very good start to end the Russian-Ukrainian war. It is hoped that China is serious about its proposal and follows up on this good start by implementing concrete steps. Only then the world will believe in China's efforts to defuse the current flames of the Russian-Ukrainian war. And that's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with March 3, 1923, Time Magazine first published. The first issue of US Time Magazine was published on March 3, 1923, with Joseph J. Cannon, a member of the US House of Representatives, on the cover. Time appeared earlier than its competitors, creating a weekly news magazine format. Time was founded in 1923 by Britton Hayden and Henry Luce. The two had worked together at Yale, being editor and chairman of the Yale Daily News. Hayden died in 1929, and Luce became a major figure at Time and a major figure in the media of the 20th century. Hayden was a carefree person and found Time to be both important and fun. This has also affected its contents, which are sometimes considered too light for serious news. Turning to 1924, the Turkish National Assembly formally abolished the Ottoman Empire. The Turkish National Assembly, on March 3, 1924, approved the abolition of the Khilafah and the separation of religion from state affairs. The agreement immediately abolished the Ottoman Empire, which had ruled for centuries. The most highlighted figure for this collapse is Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, who is currently also called the father of Turkey, for the originator of the Republic of Turkey. He also known to be the most vocal in proposing the National Assembly regarding the abolition of the Caliphate and expulsion of Caliph and the separation of religion from state affairs. I'll end today in history with March 3, 2014, the first World Wildlife Day. The General Assembly of the United Nations on December 20, 2013, declared March the 3rd as World Wildlife Day. This aims to raise awareness about the dangers posed by human activities and climate change to flora and fauna. The date, March the 3rd, refers to the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Flora and Fauna, which was passed on March the 3rd, 1973. That was today in history.
still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government received grants in the form of collaboration on smart factory adoptions and human resource training worth $5.5 million, or around 80 billion rupiah, from South Korea to increase the capacity of small and medium enterprises, SMEs. As quoted from Antara, Deputy for Small and Medium Enterprises of the Ministry of Cooperatives and SMEs, Hanung Harimba Rahman, said that the official development assistance project, or ODA, cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea is expected to help local SMEs adopting the industrial ecosystem 4.0 so that it can enter the industrial supply chain. He said this after signing the project's memorandum of understanding between the Ministry of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises and the InnoBiz Association of Korea in Jakarta on Tuesday. In this project, there will be 30 SMEs recommended by the Ministry of Cooperative and SMEs to receive training on adopting smart factories built at universities. There will also be training for 100 experts for warnings related to smart factory operations in a collaboration for the next 4 years. There are also SMEs targeted to be able to participate in the program, including the automotive, manufacturing, food and beverage, textiles, electronics, chemical and agricultural sector. Meanwhile, Policy Head of InnoBiz Institute, Se Jong Kim, explained that a smart factory service center will be built at the university so that there is cooperation on the training curriculum. Se Jong Kim also said he had built 30,000 smart factories in Korea. InnoBiz Institute will invite them to Indonesia to exchange experiences, or otherwise they can also see Korea directly. He hoped that this program can improve the capacity of SMEs in Indonesia. The collaboration with InnoBiz, which is an MSMEs certification institution in South Korea, is expected to help the Indonesian government in developing scheme, research and policies related to MSME certification, which are implementable and in accordance with the business ecosystem in Indonesia.
Galanya. mampu munculkan rasa hingga hati ini bicara.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Tanjung Tihu Beach. Bone Balango is one of the regencies in Gorontalo province. This regency shares a direct border to Tomini Bay, a bay in Sulawesi which has abundant marine wealth. Thus, it's no wonder that Bone Balango is blessed with many beautiful beaches. One of them is Tanjung Tihu Beach. It is located approximately 34 kilometers from the provincial capital of Gorontalo, Gorontalo City. It takes about an hour to drive to reach the location. During the trip, you can also enjoy the beautiful scenery of Tomini Bay, the residents' village, and the hills on the coast. Listener, the entrance ticket to the beach is so cheap. You have to pay only 3,000 rupiah per adult and 2,000 rupiah per kid. While parking, the vehicle is free of charge. Tanjung Tihu Beach has the main attraction, namely white sand and charming rocks. The sand is purely white with a charming blue sea water. Views of hills and rows of coconut trees add to the beauty of Tanjung Tihu Beach. You can also enjoy the beauty of the beach while capturing it with your camera. There are indeed many Instagrammable photo spots provided by the beach manager. Listener, when you travel to Tanjung Tihu Beach, please don't forget to enjoy the freshness of the sea water by swimming. Tanjung Tihu Beach tourism facilities are complete enough. There are gazebos and wooden stilt houses built by the manager. To rent the gazebo, you have to pay 15,000 rupiah. Moreover, there is also a camping area available for visitors who want to stay overnight. The price for camping is 15,000 rupiah. There is also a special bathroom for tourists. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Antara kamu dan aku, hang mewarnai indah duniaku. Namun kini tak ada lagi cintamu sentuh jiwaku. Semua telah berubah, tinggallah cerita yang takkan usah ditelan masa. Seandainya semua cinta di dunia aku punya tak mampu kembalikan cinta kita, karena kini dirimu telah tiada. Sedikit rasa yang kini tersisa tak mungkin menyembuhkan luka jiwa, karena dirimu pergi selamanya.
For still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic: Tarumanagara University, top 3 best private university in Asian Plus. Listeners, Tarumanagara University, UNTAR, Jakarta, won the top 3 best private universities in 2023 from the Applied He Private University Ranking Asian Plus. Rector of UNTAR, Professor Dr. Agustinus Purna Irawan, said that the results of the Applied He Private University Ranking were international recognition of UNTAR's performance as the best institution not only at the national but also international levels. He added, "This is special because it is the first time UNTAR has entered
the Applied He Private University ranking, but immediately won the top 3 best private universities. Tarumanagara University competed with other campuses that participate earlier. Untar ranks 3rd best out of private universities in the Southeast Asian region plus other Asian countries, namely Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Hong Kong, Kazakhstan, and Taiwan, or Asian plus. The Applied He assesses private universities based on teaching and learning, employability, research, community engagement, internationalization, and institutional reputation. In addition, the results of the assessment from the Applied He Private University add to international recognition of UNTAR's performance after previously receiving 4 stars from the QS rating in the same year. That's Miss Seleni.
If I turn over to you and start to get a little high, it's because I love you, and I will never shut down if anyone hurts you. It's because I love you. Baby, I'm yours, yeah, you. Till I close my eyes, it's soon for you, only you, my girl. If I turn over to you and start singing just for you, it's because beautiful, I will marry you.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present original song from East Kalimantan entitled Nasi Bekopor. The song narrates typical food of East Kalimantan, namely nasi bekopor, which is served with a variety of side dishes. Here is the original song from East Kalimantan entitled Nasi Bekopor.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ada apa kau bertemu dia? Mungkinkah kau ingin bagi cintamu? Jika memang kau bagi cintamu, masih pantaskah ku jaga hatiku? Ingatkah semua kata yang kau ucap dulu? Kau berjanji untuk setia. Kini ku tanya kemana janji itu kau buat. Pernah sakit tapi tak pernah sesakit ini. Karena pernah cinta tapi tak pernah sedalam ini. Aku ingin semua cintamu hanya untukku. Memang ku tak rela kau bagi lagi untuk hati yang lain. Jika memang kau bagi cintamu, kemana janji itu kau buat? Sakit ini karena pernah cinta, tapi tak pernah sedalam ini. Aku ingin semua cintamu hanya untukku. Memang ku tak rela kau bagi untuk hati yang lain.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sendiri memberikan segalanya. Kau adalah seorang pria seperti yang selama ini ku damba. Namun entah mengapa kau tak mampu munculkan rasa hingga hati ini bicara. Tolong pergi jauh dariku, hadirmu buatku terganggu. Salah caramu sadar kau bukan untukku.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.